Moo, and good evening, everyone. I hope I'm doing a good impression of Brent there with the welcome. And hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pink Tron. With me tonight, I have Craig Martin, Chris Greenland, Sean Fogenberg, and Steph Etienne. Let's start with Sean because we've just lost Craig's video. Sean, what are you drinking tonight?
It was the last beer from a Stone IPA pack. So I've got I guess this one is just Stone IPA. So just, yeah.
Oh, it's got quite a funky
No, just
design
the
there. That's cool
standard
design.
Stone.
Was that one of those Costco packs where you get like six that you like and then they're trying to offload old
No,
inventory and stuff that you'd
it's
never buy?
the Stone IPA mixed pack, so it's got four different IPAs. They've got a hazy, a tangerine, and the FML, which is a double. I like all
Yeah.
four of them, so
Oh, lucky you.
yeah. Why buy
Chris,
that
you've
pack?
jumped in there. What are you on tonight? Recovery Miller lighter.
Oh no, I'm actually out of Miller Lights at the moment, but it is St. Paddy's Day weekend. I'm incredibly stoked by that. So I'm on a pint of the black stuff. Got some home Guinness
Nice.
here, and then another one right behind that. Already poured because out of the can it takes a while for these to settle. So I'm in full SPD lashing mode.
You got some green food coloring?
Heck no.
Recently, I was at a party and was designated driver, so I was on the 0% alcohol, and I actually discovered the 0% Guinness is possibly the only drinkable 0% alcohol I've discovered so far.
It's really good, right? It's really true to the original, yeah.
I would not recommend the 0% Thatcher's, which was the most disgusting cider I've ever had. Yeah, not a fan of that one, but yeah, 0% Guinness, really, really nice. I think there's a lot of potential in 0% gin as well, because the botanical sort of flavour you get from it. So, anyway, moving on to people who love 0%. Craig, how are you drinking tonight?
So I am not on 0%. I am drinking a Darren's Internet Search History Melon IPA.
Lovely.
Yes.
Is there a
Melon.
story behind that name, or is it just very silly and that's supposed to be a joke?
It's from Refined Fool Brewery. So I don't think there's anything additional with the name other than yes, they're silly.
Okay. What's the can artwork? I noticed like some
There,
paint
there's it,
splashing.
it's significant. Yeah.
Oh, that's fancy.
Yeah.
That's like,
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It
great,
comes
great
across, yeah, comes across so well on the podcast.
podcasting right
And as we know, Craig, your alcohol choice is, as ever, chosen by Kerry's review of your performance in the week. So, based on that, how well have you performed this week?
Not quite sure.
And Steph, probably the closest to bedtime out of all of us here, what are you drinking tonight? In classic meeting meta, Steph has left himself on mute, but has held up a beer. He's on a Hoegaarden.
Oh God, and that beer, it's a local beer from breweries like 20K from you wouldn't call it a local brewery since it's part of the ABM Bev group, but which is basically where the town where I live is the headquarters of InBev, so also
Oh,
known for famously for Stella Artois. For any Europeans out there should know it.
Stella Artois has a fantastic reputation in the UK of poor quality beer. Speaking of poor quality beers, I'm actually on a cider on a Thatcher's Rose, which is a red apple cider. It's really sweet, which is why I like it. Not if it, if there's any hardcore cider drinkers, you will be laughing at me for my love of sweet cider.
It's a rose and not a rosé.
I believe it might be a rosé, but it has got a little acute, I think is that the word for that, above the E, which
Oh
makes
yeah,
it
I
an A
think
for me.
you're.
But yes, Thatcher's rosé. We mentioned 0% beers, and a course that features very little 0% is what's up in this week's Herd Winter Racing League. I hope I've done them
Nailed
proud
it.
with my horrendous segue into our chat about Zwift Racing League. So Zwift, Winter Race, sorry, Herd Winter Racing, not Zwift Racing League, Herd Winter Racing League up this week. We have Harrogate UCI, which is one lap, I believe. It doesn't say on the spreadsheet.
I think it is one lap, yeah. Yep.
It is one lap.
Genuinely, I say this a lot about routes, one of my favorite courses in the map. I love this. I love Richmond. I hate both of them as well. I think I slightly prefer Richmond to the two. 20-minute course, FTP test. It's really, you know, hard. I think, Craig, you've nailed this before, Craig. Like, it's an absolute FTP test, this one, isn't it?
I totally disagree. If you are doing an FTP test, you've done this course wrong.
Ooh.
Yes.
However, it's brutal. You're always pedaling. Like, there's very little, like, there's a few bits of downhill, but there's very little flat to shill in the draft, I found on this.
Yes. And that's why I think that it ends up not being an FTP test, right? Like, you're going hard up a hill or you're chilling down a hill, and that is not going to get you your best power.
And it's yet, going to I feel... have set my best power on.
Oh, nice.
I've set my best power on this course as well.
Yeah. So the version of that why I said if you are setting your best, you know, if it's an FTP test, you're doing it wrong, is because it means you've gotten dropped and you are chasing and you are pushing down the downhills as well.
Well, or you're doing it in HWR, in which case, you're trying to catch up with the group led by Scorekeeper and his rivals.
Ooh, no, just let them go.
No. So
the direction that we're doing this in this weekend is...
This is the clockwise. So this is the one where you come out of the pens and go up Otley Road.
The long drag up.
Yeah.
I mean, we say this a lot. Zwift races start hard, but like this will be brutal because...
This is a hard start of Zwift. The only ones harder, I think, are the ones that go immediately up the Zwift KOM.
Oh, God, yeah. Steph, have you raced this already tonight, or Chris?
No, not raced it.
No, I did. I've been away from Zwift for a few days. I'm trying not to leave too many makeups for the Zwift games. So I did Zwift games this morning, Glasgow.
My dog has just curled up by my feet and is now snoring very loudly. So I'm really hoping that comes out on the podcast. So bike choice on this one, I think for me, it's a really obvious Pinktron or Orange Tron if you're Dutch, of course. Best all-round bike. There's lots of climbs. There's lots of downhills. Feels like an all-rounder, really all-rounder course, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could go full aero with disc, if would be the other choice, I think, because... all the climbs are fast.
What's going to be the difference for making a group or not is Otley and like the flat in that first 10 minutes. Yeah. So I could see that.
Yeah, I think I've very rarely been dropped on the classified comm when you get to that. When I've raced in this, I'm either making it in the comm in a good group or I'm dropped before that comm. I don't think I've made it there to be dropped. And the good news is we're going down Potbank Wall and not up it, which is always fun. Yep. It doesn't take long.
Especially in this direction.
Right, that takes us on to Herd Beginner Racing next, which looks like it's RGV. Again, don't know if that's just one lap or whether it's custom distance.
It appears to be one lap.
Yeah, for all categories.
Yeah, one lap, all categories. Yep.
Ooh, good course choice then for HBAR. So RGV is the one that starts through the intestines, isn't it?
It is not. It's flat all the way to the aqueduct, basically.
So it's the one that's super flat. You hit the aqueduct and you finish with the intestines. Then, so is it Casper? Yeah. Is the one I'm thinking of. Yeah.
So, Deuce France.
Yeah, that one.
There's one that's hard and there's one that's less hard. So this is super chill. Like this is you're going to spend a long time. I remember doing this when the world first opened, and like it's basically zero gradient. It is 0% for about 11 10 11k, isn't it? It's a long time.
The hardest things on that first half of the course are when you go over the cobble bridges.
And the random spot where every ATV rider attacks.
I wonder if that happens in HBR.
So on this one, as we said, points to watch out for: cobbles, like when the rolling resistance goes up, always just bump your own power up a little bit. You can get just dropped out there with where that coefficient goes up. I think it's get to the aqueduct. The aqueduct it's really a long sprint. It's not really a climb, is it? Like it's probably about 50 seconds as hard as you can go. So it fits that long
less,
sprint.
Less, really. Like it, you're not doing the segment. Like the uphill part is probably only
20 to 30 seconds for the D's. Yeah.
30 seconds max. Yeah.
And then the intestines, they're a bit more punchy. So the bit towards the end of the lap, there's some, I think this way around, they get progressively harder.
Yeah.
As you go over these rollers, if I remember rightly. So yeah, again, good one to be. I think with this course, you're not going to easily drop people. This is going to sound really like a nonsensical statement. I don't think you're easily going to drop people by attacking the intestines, but you can easily get dropped if those two aren't mutually exclusive. I think it's one of those ones where if you're not paying attention, you can fall off the back, and then you've got to work quite hard to catch up. I think you're going to have to do a really, really big attack to break the draft to get away enough from people who are paying attention. So but it is the ideal course for panache, isn't it? Attack at 1K to go, win.
Yeah, the 1K is right around where the big last little kick is in the intestine. It's like you go up over one last steepest, longest little hill and then come down into the sprint at the marina. And it is one that I've seen people stay away on.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
it's the
absolutely.
Only time I've had panache work in a race, though, for me.
I'd say on this one, the big hint, I guess, where this is herd beginner racing, the hint for the beginners is I'm stealing from Chris Roberts that I've raced with many times in TTT on the Kookaburras, and it's pump it. So as you're coming down, before you hit the bottom of those rollers, hit the power on before you hit the bottom so that you're already spun up when you hit the uphill. And then because trainer lag, you've got to have the power on before the uphill starts, because the hill isn't long enough to just depend on the resistance to increase. So
definitely. And I think there's sort of a double effect, isn't it? I've noticed... Mm-hmm. We got somebody to do their first race on Zwift recently, and I noticed with them kind of your own cadence will drop down slightly as the gradient goes up, and your power drops down accordingly, and then you recover to the cadence you're trying to do and bump your power back up. Yep. So you kind of got the trainer lag of that happening, and then your leg lag happening at the same time. Yep. You can easily get dropped. So yeah, great tip. Like spin up on those little descents, you can. And actually, to good effect, where was it? I think coming out of Titans Grove in a recent race, I was able to do that and made 10, 15 seconds up just through pumping it through those bits out of Titans Grove. So, yeah, really good tactic to get to the front of a group, stay in front, or even catch up to a group who's chilling a little bit through there.
Yeah, indeed.
Sorry, Steph.
Yeah, I was about to say Titans Grove and... the intestines are a good way to learn that skills to find your pace through the rollers for beginners.
Yeah, 100%. Bike choice, I would probably go best aero on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. Yep.
Yeah, whatever your best arrow is, Tron, if you don't have disc wheels or whatever is the slipperiest, yeah. But not a TT bike.
With a, yes, not a TT bike. That takes us on to the Herd Climber's Gambit. And I do want to big this up too much. I'm going to big it up so much that it'll be impossible to actually live up to how much I've bigged it up. But Sean, you are really, really looking forward to this. And in fact, you said you're going to race in the A's, I believe, didn't you?
I did say A's or B's. And I said that for just the leg snapper, but then I saw that the whole series is, we'll let Chris tell us what the series is, but I might race the whole series in B.
Yep. Come on, Chris, take credit for this.
Yeah, this is a fun one. It's been a while since we've done some short, sharp efforts in Climber's Gambit. So I've written the Punch Out series, which is a collection of five of our short, punchy climbs throughout Zwift. So we are starting off with the Leg Snapper. This is the Leg Snapper's first appearance in Climber's Gambit. Moving on sequentially through Hilly Forward, two times up Breakaway Bray, combined time for the weekend, then up Titans Reverse, and then a combined time of Libby Hill and 23rd Street in Richmond. So those are your five weekends laid out. The idea there is they're short events, because I know we're all dovetailing Zwift Games, Big Spin, the No Spring Chickens series. There's a lot going on at the moment, so I wanted to make these manageable for everybody to come out, really lay your guts on the floor and get on to the next thing.
And as a reminder, the Climber's Gambit is our no draft series where only your time on the classified climb counts. The exception being on week five, where there's two classified times, so we sum them together to give you final position. I having not seen all of the races, and first I've heard about it tonight, I think if you were to get me to write down like four of my favorite climb segments, like, they're on this list. So yeah, a bit of a love-hate relationship with the Leg Snapper. I think we all know I love Hilly Forward. Titans Reverse is a really cool climb, and I love the Richmond climbs as well. So yeah, really, really interesting choice. And I similarly will probably commit to these. I'm not doing it in B. I might actually nearly compete in C if I do this one. So yeah, definitely going to give it a go.
I mean, they're short enough. I might do one, like I might do Saturdays in B and Sundays in C.
Yep.
I heard Sundays in A there. Like, you've now said it in public. Yeah.
I thought about it. So I think that there is a lot. You don't think of, okay, it's Leg Snapper, you know, less than a minute climb. You don't really think about it as there may be a lot of pacing and strategy to really do your best time here. I think there is. I think there is that little bridge across the river there. You're not going to be coming into this fast, right? You're going to be just kind of rolling around until you get to the Leg Snapper. I did this as a power test a couple years ago, trying to get a full minute and kind of guessed where I'd have to start to get a minute of power. But what that did was, so I started right when you turn to go across that bridge, essentially sprinting across that bridge, and was going 30 miles an hour by the time I hit the Leg Snapper, like the actual steep part, and never came back down below, like it took halfway up until I was going below 20 miles an hour. It really, like, you don't want to go so hard at the beginning that you don't have anything left for the top, which is where you're going to be hating life. But I do think that you are going to want to go pretty hard into the climb with something this short, especially since unlike 23rd Street, where you're going to be going down the hill into the climb, this one you're you're going from the flat. So you want to get some speed up before you hit the climb.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Entry speed matters here.
I've always done a like attack the bottom of this, but what's really exciting is this is no draft. So I've always done attack the bottom because people are going to come past me and I'm going to draft them as they come past me. It's always been my tactic on this. Whereas I've tried the kind of time trial effort and you find like if you get a gap, you're just doing a time trial effort with no draft. So I'll probably go from the similar tactic of attack the bottom really hard and then try not to be sick. It's really well thought out.
Yeah, welcome to the club, Steve.
Hammer the primes.
Yeah, two big endurance rides in the weekend, so these series are the short efforts are perfect. And I mean, it's indeed pacing because I have to do some couple of 1 minute efforts or max efforts during my endurance rides, and you notice it. You can keep the power smoothly for 30-40 seconds, but then it's the bargaining time. You try to keep the power on, and it's just surviving that last 20 seconds or so.
And I think this is where like most people can get better. I was going to say at Zwift, but I mean more at the kind of style of racing that Zwift is.
Yeah.
Like Zwift is a really like most of the courses are punchy courses. Like you see, most of the people that finish high up have a really good kind of 2 to 5 minute power. And that's the like these climbs will really test that. Like the leg snap is a bit shorter, but like that 1 to 5 minute power is kind of actually what decides most races on Zwift. So it's a really like even if you just do it for a bit of training, a bit of fun. Like I have in the past done an hour of hilly. Of that route, and you just chill out in zone two until you hit the comm, and then you smash the comm as hard as you can.
I thought you hated that race, Steve.
is it hilly reverse? That's the 2-3 minute one.
No. I mean hilly forward. When we raced eight laps,
it wasn't the race I was hating. It was mostly James Bailey. And everything he stood for at that point and my own silly decisions. So yes, anyway, moving on to further silly decisions we can make this week, we've got the herd of mountain goats, which looks like it's on Bambino Fondo. It's a new route. I don't know that one.
So that's not that new. It's just barely ever used.
I think it depends on, is there just the one Bambino Fondo or there...
I think there's more than one, and I'm not sure which it is. Unfortunately.
2022 or 23.
Oh, dear.
Well,
I'm going to go.
It's on Bambino Fondo.
On one of them. How different are they?
Quite.
Oh. I was hoping for similar.
So there's the 2019 Bambino Fondo route that's got Hilly and Volcano on it, and is
and a bit through the jungle
and the jungle,
and
yes,
yeah, and yeah. That one's 52K. So, I don't think that's necessarily a mountain goat style route, but
that's definitely a mountain goat style route. Man, Matt. No, I don't know which one he meant. So
we'll do is we'll send Matt some abuse on Facebook. It looks like the 2022 route finishes up the Volcano Comm, so it might finish up the Volcano Comm. It's likely, I don't know, probably. Anyway, we'll send Matt some abuse. We'll get Matt to comment under the post we put up the podcast tell.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to say that it's the 2022 Bambino Fondo route. I'm going to change the event right now. And if Matt wants it anything else, he can change it himself.
Finish it up the volcano. So, yeah, there we go. Right, let's move on to the Stampede this week, which is Castle Crit.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
How many K?
But yeah, this is a lab course, isn't it? So
yeah,
like Castle Brit is it's 3.5 k's around the castle of Seven Meet and Mercury, isn't it? So
it looks like two laps with 1.5 k of lead in, so a total of 8.5 k. We've talked about this, but it's the twisty kind of punchy bits of the upper part of the little castle city or the castle town in Yumezi, which includes the little punch up the cobbles.
Yeah.
That's a few hundred meters at about 6%. So it is enough to slow you down if you don't really punch it. So it'll be an interesting pacing one on this. Like it's really interesting. Yep. Yeah, it's short, like 8.5 k. It's a shorter effort. It's not a like sit at threshold effort. This one is that you're going to have to be above threshold based on the distance, and then that punchy bit, like that's going to be the bit where you make the most time. I'd have thought, like, if you can do that fast and then hold decent watts the rest of the way around, that's a good time. But how many matches you burn there to lose time sitting above threshold or somewhere else as well.
I would guess go ahead.
Yeah, pacing wise is going to be interesting because you have like at least 1 k downhill every lap, so it's about a quarter of the distance is pure downhill. So
yeah, so pacing wise, I think that even that downhill, that's threshold. Everything else is over, and the steep parts is more over. Because I think this is going to end up being, let's call it 13-ish minutes for C's faster, like, because that's somewhere in the 40 kph range, which for 13 minutes, not that tough to hold. So even like everybody's getting done with this in under 20 minutes. So everyone's going to be over threshold for their average power. And it's just how much over threshold can you hold and how much more can you do on the harder parts to get a faster time.
And so with bike choice here, is there a sort of slightly more climby TT bike available, isn't there? But I don't think it's really worth it.
I don't think so either. Even though the lead-in is slightly uphill as well. But I don't think that there's enough in it you're going to be going pretty fast. So I think something full aero is probably called for.
All of which then brings us to the final week event in our third week, which obviously, thanks to James Bailey, finishes on Wednesday, is Bridges and Boardwalks for the Bullseye. As a reminder, the Bullseye is our points raced base. We score points for first across the line. Every time you complete, it's not every time you complete a segment. It varies a bit, but basically there'll be some sprints. If you finish first in each sprint, you get the most points, and it scales down from there with double points for the finish line normally, doesn't it?
That is correct. So the real wrinkle on this one is the climb up to Shisa Sprint, because it's first across line. So obviously it doesn't matter that the sprint is flat because there's not a really big climb, but a good enough climb that it makes more difference than the sprint does. There's definitely going to be people attempting to break away and get those points on the whole climb. But then halfway around the lap, you've got a sprint. So it's going to be interesting.
I think this is the easier direction of that climb up to it. So it's not the one that you go and you do the little like loop around before you come. It still is going to be a pretty hard couple minute effort for the hardest part of it. So
yeah, it looks like 2 k, so that's like you say, it's going to be few minutes sat there, people going hard.
But the hard, the hard part of it is from, it is like 700 meters at 5%, leading into the sprint. So that is, that's going to break things up.
Credit to Ben pointed on this one. He does call it the shitty sprint, and with good reason. Like, you just cook whenever you get to it. I think, but yeah, exciting for the Bullseye. So Bullseye, had a lot of fun with this a couple of years ago, riding against Oyan and Shifty and people like that who I didn't sprint as well as, but and Bowser. But this would be the kind of course where I'd be looking to like really try and put the hurt on that climb, gap people a little bit, and then try and hold it to the sprint. So yeah, it's an exciting course. And likewise, if you can ride within yourself a bit and really back yourself to smash that sprint really fast, like if somebody's attacked, they're probably cooked and you might be able to close the gap, hit their draft, just putting them at the line. So exciting course. Bike choice on this one's an interesting one, isn't it? Like this feels to me like it's got Tron written all over it. Good on that climb, slippery on the flat bits, like really good all round bike.
I would agree with that.
I'd say so, yeah.
If you haven't got a Tron yet, would you be going something like the Air Road, or there's the Uranium bike, which is again really good all rounders?
There's would you be the going felt or it? Like, yeah, I would just be looking at it, the Zwift Insider, like what's a good all around bike?
Well, it's really what's, you know, outside of the TT bikes, what's the most aero? I mean, if you're going for the Tron, you're really going for the most aero other than the disc. So, and if you've got the disc wheels, you probably already have Tron.
But I don't think that you necessarily want the most aero. Like, you're not going to want something with a disc wheel on this. There's that, you know, 700 meters at five plus percent that leads into that sprint. Like,
no, I agree.
Part of the reason that you want the Tron is it's aero, but it's light.
Yeah, but outside of the Tron in road bikes without the disc wheel, you want the most aero. Sean's still thinking.
Yeah, I think that's right. There's the felt, I think, that does that. Like,
yeah,
you don't put the discs on it. You put some like the NV7/8s or something on it, and I think you're pretty good.
Cool. All of which brings us to our round the horn topic, which I might just leave a gap here and make Sean edit together. We haven't decided on yet. So has anyone got a cool topic to talk about for round the horn?
I think there's good stuff to talk about. Yeah, go ahead.
I'd say the first thing to talk about, because there is no next week's HWR, is the herd spring chickens, or no spring chickens race. So we've got Masters Racing in our headline weekend slot. So it's going to be mass start. Results are going to be broken down by age category.
And this is the UCI age categories, not the ones built into Zwift Insider, isn't it? Which are slightly different?
So there are a couple different age group category settings built into Zwift Power. This is the one that matches the UCI categories, we think. Other than there's no U23, it's just 35 and under.
Cool. So if you want to find out if you're the 377th best 40 to 44 year old in Zwift in the herd, this is the series for you. We're doing quite a mix of courses. It is genuinely quite exciting, isn't it? I think it's like it's another way of cutting it. As Maryline put it, it's a bit too early to start doing some of the longer rides that we get into in the Herd Summer Racing League. So, yeah, I thought this was quite a good bridging series. Fun to try something a bit different. And actually, Steph, I know in our Ladder League group, there's a couple of people sharing into that and being quite excited about the series, weren't they?
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
I think Ernst was looking forward to it, but I think he's still recovering, but yeah, I think maybe the looking at our chat group as well, with Dark and some people. Yeah, can be interesting because you have the mass start in the race, but then you don't know who you're racing against, maybe potentially, because you don't know who is which age category in the race itself. So you do your best anyways. So.
Are there any 44-year-olds in this group typing into Zwift Messenger? Right? No, cool, I'll work with you.
On that note, I just turned 45.
Uh-huh.
Craig, I'm not going to race you. No way. So yeah, cool. See, I think we've got, I quite like these, what I'd call micro series. So it's similar to Chris, kind of quite short, trying something new. Really exciting. So check out the Facebook post. I don't know if Sean will put it in the show notes as well, put a link into the post if you want to check that out. But it's pretty easy to find on the Facebook Herd Racing League Facebook page.
But so 4 weeks, the races are going to be McCurry 40, Caspat, Sugar Cookie, and Libby Hill After Party. So a good set of races. It won't feel that much different than doing, you know, HWR. It's just some more mass start scratch races.
Except that it will. It's not all scratch races.
Yeah, the two last.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
So I need to get back to Marilyn's post.
Yeah, the last two are points races. So I guess the first two will feel like HWR and the second two will feel like HSRL.
Well, so no, the third one is using bullseye scores, bullseye style scoring, and the fourth one is HSRL style scoring.
Fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Just to keep things interesting. So when I say that, that means first across the line on Sugar Cookie, and then Libby Hill After Party. Oh, no.
Yeah, FTS yeah. on that.
So, fastest time through segment on Libby Hill After
Party. And that's going to end up being split by your age category. So you're looking to do the FTS of your age group. Again, it like there is no hiding there. You just need to do your best times on these things because that's what's going to matter. I did like in the Pinktron chat, John Keenan saying like, well, it'll be nice to get out there and see fewer people in front of me in the standings. And then Marilyn pointing out that like, watch out, because we're going to see some otherworldly performances from some of these older age groups.
There are some really fast people racing on Zwift in their 60s. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that you mentioned it because I'm the captain of our ladder team, and in one of the groups, there was, I think, one of the races for a team we have been racing, and I think he was in our race, Steve, for the mandatory last week, a 70-year-old, and he came, I think, in not our race, but a subsequential race, he came second, so yeah. If you're fit.
We've got a guy in our cycle club who's retired, who's in his like late 60s, does about 500Ks a week or something bonkers like that. Just like weighs about 6 stone dripping wet and flies up hills. Like he's just, you just have to be like off Bob when he goes past you. Like, hope you can be that fast up a hill when you get there to his age as well. So yeah, like, credit to him.
Yeah. So in the, real life cycling, I was out, group fat biking, and there's a guy, and I knew him. I've biked with him before, but we had a group out on our brewery sponsored group ride, and he took the fast group out, and I set the highest 20-minute heart rate I've hit in a year, and he's just and this involves, you know, riding and waiting for people and riding and waiting for people and riding for wait. And I still hit a high heart rate. And this is on snow. He's just riding. He's fine. He went out for 4 hours. After 2 hours, I bailed and went to the fire pit early.
Yeah. God, it reminds me of those. They always have it at the London Marathon of like, how long can you run at marathon world record pace? And they basically have a treadmill with a crash mat set up behind it, and like,
yeah
30 seconds.
Or they go fired up, like 30 seconds would be good. They're so fast. Like,
at my best, I was about 5 minutes. In that it was, you know, just it was almost exactly my 1500 base, which is, you know, a bit over 4 minutes. So
that's bonkers. And you're probably just over a mile. They tend to do like about 4.5 minute miles, don't they, in the mountains?
Yeah. So I would have been, a mile, maybe a little bit over when, and you know, a decade or so ago, I was a pretty good runner.
It's just crazy, isn't it? And they're doing that 26 times.
Yeah.
the was it Kipchoge that did the under like sub two, 2 hour marathon, which is essentially 26 4 minute 40 miles.
That is crazy. I find myself doing the other maths in like, I could do a marathon kind of maths. I go out for a 5K run and I'll be like, well, these 5 minute kilometers are actually, I feel like this is a tempo. I feel like I could sit here for a while. And you'd be like, what's 42 times 5 minutes? Oh, I could do a marathon in this time. And then like nothing comes of it. I'm not going to do that. You forget, like, actually you fatigue over time and things like that, don't you? I'm already doing complicated maths to forget about the fatigue that I'm acquiring in this 5 day run. Other round the horn things I was going to mention, I don't know if people have seen it. I don't know whether your love is sharing it or not. I was really excited having chatted about it earlier in our group that when I fired up the laptop to record the podcast, I got a notification from Zwift Insider saying, check out this Dutch lady who's riding gravel racing, who started on Zwift, Marjolein, who we all know and love. There's a really cool article up on Zwift Insider where Marjolein spoke to them about her journey through Zwift and doing the gravel worlds last year. Definitely, like, I know she's spoken a lot on here about that as well, but definitely go check it out. Just really cool to see someone in the herd telling their story and a lot of riding they do.
I was really happy to see that. That was nice, and I'm really impressed, Marjolein. Steve and I, from this group especially, I think, have ridden with Marjolein a lot with ZRL and stuff. But it's good fun, and really happy to see a nice little article on what she's done, and it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, 100%. And has anyone got anything else around the horn?
I think the other things going on right now are the Zwift Games and the Big Spin. I don't know if anybody's done either of those. I'm racing Zwift Games right now. Sounds like Chris is as well.
Yeah, I'm going really, really fast. So I chucked one of my friends who he stupidly said, I've never done a Zwift race before. So I'm like, let's chuck you on the trainer and see what happens. He's like quite a strong rider. So we made him do a ramp test, and then about an hour and a half later do a Zwift Games race. We only did the 5 minute ramp test, not the full hour FTP test one. And my God, like, so he came out at quite high C and got like, he was like, me coaching him, I'm like, you have to go hard here. And my God, those races were fast. It was the early one, that like classic marina start, and then through the kickers towards the bridge sprint. And he was dropped before the bridge sprint because people were just going so stupidly hard. Has it stayed like that? Are people just ridiculously fast?
No, it's those races are crazy. So I've been doing them. I mean, I've been finishing, you know, 70s, 50s, in C's. So yeah, no, they're fast. They're real fast. I'm also in shape, but They're fast.
They're big groups as well, aren't they? Which always makes things super.
Yeah, fast. which is fun because yeah, I'm getting dropped, but I have people to race. I'm trying to bridge up to another group, or trying to catch on to the group that's catching the little group that I'm in. Whatever it is, yeah, there's lots of stuff happening because there's lots of people around. So it's a good environment. It's good fun.
The fourth race that's been going on right now was Glasgow Crit. So five laps of Glasgow Crit, which when you are in a group that is really pushing, and because Zwift Games, like the GC is based on time. So it works better if you're in a bigger race where people are pushing. I ended up in a race where there were several people in the front group that did 3.6 for 23 minutes. We're flying around there. it's hard. I think I was basically pinned at max heart rate from the final kicker to the line. And then somebody who was in my, who's on my ZRL team was like, so why, I thought that you'd come around me in that final sprint. And it was like, I was just dangling at the back of that. I wasn't sprinting. I was doing 400, 500 watts, trying not to puke. But that one's fun because it's a, so the ZRL playoff courses got announced, and for the points race, which is the very final cool race, it is points on Glasgow Crit forward, and then a scratch race on five laps of Glasgow Crit reverse. So I don't know exactly how they're going to do this. Glasgow Crit reverse is not a course.
I thought that was just me. I'm like, I don't know that course.
No, not you.
But I don't know a lot of courses. So
yeah, it's not a course. So they've either talked with Zwift about how to make it a course, or they announced it and we're going to figure out whether they can actually do it.
Yeah,
it'll be really interesting to see, just because I think that part of why they're doing this is to discourage people from just sitting, noodling around and then going as hard as they can on the segments to try and game the system for segment points. Because if you have another race right after and you don't finish that first race because you were just hanging around, you don't get any of those points.
Ooh, are they going to dust off segment battle points for this too?
Yeah, about that reverse, because I was always wondering what I did. Glasgow Crit, at a certain point when you, after the KOM, you have that downhill, then that little kicker, a bit of rollers, and then you go down to that segment. But somewhere there appears to be a KOM starting line at some point I've seen before. So I was always wondering if there was a reverse version of Glasgow Crit, but yeah, there's indeed not an official course of it.
Yeah, not yet, at least. It seems like there's going to need to be, at least for that one race.
I'm just shocked that people do the races deliberately really slowly just to have a rest between the sprints. Sure, I can't think who would choose that exploit at all. Shocked and appalled, really.
Can't think of anybody.
I've got something I want to chat through if we have time.
Yeah, yeah, go for it. This is the bit people like. I think most people skip through the they can find out what the races are. They know I'm always going to say I'm on a Tron because I never change bike. Craig's going to say Hamlet.
Chris just fast forwards to bike choice and pacing strategies, and then skips to this.
And yeah, I guess part of it's a PSA. Oh, first off, update on my Zwift Play controllers. I got the braking issue sorted out. Zwift support.
You had a braking issue.
Yeah.
Is that, The only button you don't want to ever work.
Pushing any button activated it.
Yeah.
So it was like running with a parachute behind you. Apparently there's a recalibration link that Zwift support sent me, but you're only supposed to use the calibration link if Zwift support sends it to you. It's not something you're supposed to do on your own. So I got that caveat sent to me and just recalibrated everything, like remapped all the buttons. It works fine now. So win there. But then just on a whim, I think it was last weekend, I was like, huh, I haven't changed the handlebar tape on my handlebars here on my trainer bike for a while. I'm going to send some photos here in the chat, which I know isn't the best. But I guess just maybe PSA for folks. What I found underneath it can only be described as maybe like shipwreck-esque, maybe.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
So I've seen pictures of like, so salt and metal doesn't really like each other. Unless we're on, I guess if some people are maybe on stainless steel handlebars, but are those aluminium handlebars?
Yes.
I guess so. Yeah. Maybe you could, on the last one there, you can see at that bend of the handlebar, that is a hole.
Yes.
So I'm guessing that should be replaced.
Yeah. You know, you're lucky is the answer here, because it didn't break while you were doing a sprint.
Yeah. Doing a sprint and just like tearing your handlebar off and then falling over and bringing the bike down with you. Like that'd be fun.
There's genuinely some horror stories of people doing themselves quite bad injuries. So like, again, it sort of it depends how much you train, but most people would say like, especially after the winter, like change your handlebar tape. Like I would say if you're indoor training a lot, like probably twice a year, you want to be changing your handlebar tape. At least taking it off and just having a look at your bars, because I don't know if you put these on the group, but like
clean them. Yeah.
Those bars are eroded.
So I would say that for if you have, I don't think that the difference is huge, but this is one of those things where if you mostly ride indoors, it might be worth it to have a pair of carbon bars.
Or just have old chromed ones.
That's fine too. Yeah. my bike, it came with a pair of carbon bars, and every, like I've changed the bar tape 5 times in the last 6 years. Every time I pull them off, I just, you know, wipe them clean and they're fine. When Chris sent a little message to the group saying like, well, I changed my bar tape and all I could describe it as is a science fair project. It was like, oh no.
And I didn't even think about it because the bike that I had on the trainer previously, I had just taken the bar tape off. So it was like fully out in the air, wipe it on afterwards. And then I had to swap it out because I think I mentioned it before, like my rear derailleur cable snapped. So this was like a last minute thing, but I just never thought about it. Like I left the bar tape on. I'd give them a little wipe down afterwards, but not really paying attention to the sponge effect that clearly was happening underneath and just putting salt water on aluminum for hours and days.
And also
on
giving
end.
It a really nice like bed to sit in as well.
Yeah.
Like damp, probably a little bit humid as well. Like there's much better scientists that listen to this than me that will understand that and explain that a lot better, but like that's some fine rust growing conditions we've got there.
Well, so you basically made your handlebars your sacrificial anode, right?
Yeah, I think like again, like I don't think you need particularly expensive bar tape if you're riding indoors. So like $10, $10, €10, you're going to get some bar tape which will last you probably 3 to 6 months. I just bought a dehumidifier.
So there's also the other option of, using an old inner tube.
Yeah. A lot of people do. I've seen a lot of people do that for indoor training. I know I've teased Craig about that in the past about recycling old inner tubes, but I've seen people do that. Yeah, like it's something you'd like.
Well, how do you, what's the process there? You slice it into tape
and just
wrap it up?
No, just wrap it. I mean, you can try and cut it if you want, or you just cut
the valve out with some scissors.
Cut the valve out and then just wrap the rest. It works fine.
I don't think I have any tubes around.
Well, I say, now that a lot of us are on tubeless, yeah.
So just because I was interested, you can get a pair of or a set of cheap carbon handlebars for $35 that will never rust. So
you need to fire that link in the comments, Sean.
Yeah. It's Easton, so like clearly a reasonable manufacturer. Even Zip has some sub-$50 handlebars.
I just found the Zips. I didn't find the Eastons though. Yeah, send that link in the show notes or whatever. Clearly I'm in the market for new handlebars, everyone. Not gonna ride these much longer.
Yeah, but good to hear that you fixed your the Zwift Play issue.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm back on those, thankfully.
So I think the final little thing that is just so Zwift and I find hilarious is so the Big Spin, and they've got all of the very special prizes. We talked about
anything about this. I just saw some outrage people being like, the bike and I don't like it.
We talked about it last week. There's like a set of different prizes. There's a bike, there's a set of wheels, there's, you know, a kit for every world. I just think that the funniest thing is it's the first like tri-spoke in a disc. It's like with rainbows, like Brent was so excited about he got them in one of the races. They're the coolest looking set of wheels in the game. And then they did some testing on it, and they're like 2 minutes slower than any other road wheels on even on the flats. It's almost certainly an issue, like a mistake, but like that's the most Zwift thing, to have something that people are excited about and you make a small mistake in how you set it up so that they are the worst thing in the game.
Isn't also that new bug, the Atomic Cruiser one, not very good?
It was a cruiser.
It's, I expected that to be, you know, similar to the Buffalo bike.
Like, I want that just to look cool riding around on a cruiser. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I want those tri-spokes to be a cool, fast wheel. But it does actually turn out that in Zwift games, all of the bikes are equalized. So you can ride your cruiser bike or your Buffalo bike in the like Alpe de Zwift race and, you know, potentially beat some people and make them feel bad.
I remember one of the commentaries we did where somebody clearly done a pen change, but it looked like they're racing the whole race on a mountain bike. And we're like, and I think it was Alpe d'Huez or something like that, or one of these ones that went through the jungle. So we're getting really excited about this, was really tactical. And then we like spoke to the person afterwards and that, I just did a pen bike change. I was on the same bike.
I remember that.
In nice things Zwift have done, I don't know if you guys spoke about this, I noticed in our Ladder League race actually this week, Steph, the other avatar marker. So I really like the white line around your avatar in a bunch. I think that's like, I don't have accessibility options turned on, but I imagine there's people who do turn on accessibility options, and that's a game changer. But actually, like, there is a skill, isn't there, in like spotting your avatar, being able to quickly read the watch, shots, spot for the orange numbers to work out when people are attacking, all those kind of things. And like this just really helps with that. And I noticed another avatar had the blue outline around it this week. So I don't know what that was for and how that was selected.
Yeah, but I think it's one of your, I think it's one of the shapes if they are maybe a friend on Zwift or contact or read something about it. I think it's something with that people that you follow maybe have a that blue liner.
Oh yeah, I noticed that work. In a pace partner ride.
Yeah,
it works. The outlining works perfect. I was about to say in like pacer groups or whatever. It's quite nice that you can see where you're at in a big group.
Does that translate to racing as well? Like, would that show up in ZRL so you know where your teammates are?
So the white outline definitely shows up in the Zwift Games races, because I only know because that's the only one I've done since that came out. But I think it's probably fine. I'll say I'm not sure I love the white outline for myself, but it's okay because you can turn it off. They did it right.
I'm just looking at those handlebars again, Chris. That is an absolute science experiment.
The colors are what shocked me. It was beautiful.
It's really quite furry. Some good things, some bad things. I think that's sufficient waffling and means we've probably reached the end of the podcast. So I can't remember what Brent says at this point, but it's something like good night and thank you to everyone for listening. Good night, Sean Fogenberg.
Night.
Good night, Chris Greenland.
Good night, Stephen Pritchard.
Good night, Steph Etienne.
Night.
Good night, Craig Martin.
Yes, Steve.
And good morning, good night, good afternoon. Good racing. Enjoy listening to us or skip to the good bits. Those of you that fast forward just the bits you like. Thank you and good night.